Today I wanted to share on Psalm 107. We're going to go through Psalm 107 along with some other verses. If I could find it, there it is. So Psalm 107 in verse 1, it says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And mercy could also mean kindness. His kindness, God's kindness, is going to endure forever, which is a good thing. And if you look, we're going to skip around a little bit, so don't get too excited that we're going to stay in one place. But in Luke chapter 1, and in verse 50, this is how long God's mercy and his kindness are going to stay with us. It says, Luke chapter 150, it says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him or respect him from generation to generation." And then if you go back to Psalm, generation to generation is a pretty long time, isn't it? Yeah, so we've got God's mercy. We've got his kindness forever. If you go to, always keep your finger in Psalm 107. But if you go to Psalm 103, in verse 17, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." So it's from generation to generation and from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear or respect him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. So we got that for a very long time, and we know the word fear is respect. And I just, for the heck of it, I looked up the word respect, and it said, according to, I guess, Google, a feeling of deep admiration for something or someone elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. So I thought about, you know, different examples in our lives, and what greater example do we have than our Lord, our God? Who's got better qualities than him? No one. So it's very, very wonderful that we have him, and that he wants to take care of us, and that he gives us his kindness for a very long time. Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And that's a very good thing, from the hand. Again, keep your finger in Psalm, but go to Luke again. Luke 1, 74. Luke 1, 74. Where is it? Here it is. It says that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. So God delivered us out of the hand of our enemies, and there's a few enemies out there that want to distract us and deter us from doing God's word. But God delivered us out of those hands so that we could serve him without fear, with great freedom. We're going to go back to Psalm 107 again. And in verse 3, in this psalm, there's like four different parts. And this part is going to start a section on the weary and bewildered traveler. So we'll start reading that. And he gathered them out of their lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And that word fainted means they were just overwhelmed. They became weak and feeble because they were just kind of wandering around aimlessly. And then in verse 6, it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he what? He delivered them. So there's going to be times when we wander around aimlessly and maybe become weak and feeble. But the cure, the key, is to cry unto the Lord, and he what? He delivers them out of their distresses. Delivered means to defend and make a way to escape. And then one of the things is he plucked them out of what they needed deliverance from, you know. Pretty cool. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, it says, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord what?
Delivered me.
So when we go through these hard times, we look to the Lord, we cry unto him like they did in Psalm 107 and other places. But out of them all, the Lord delivered them. Not just some of them, every single one of them, God delivered them from. That's a great God. Verse 8 in Psalm 107 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And I wanted to just share one little trouble. Wait a minute. One little wonderful works that he did, and it's in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I'm going to find it here. Daniel 6. There we go. Man, this Ezekiel is a long one. Daniel 6, and in verse... Well, I'll get there. Sorry. 627. You guys remember Daniel, right? It says, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Remember, he went into the lion's den for taking a stand for God, and there were all these hungry lions around. So he got thrown in there, and the next morning he came out unscathed. Didn't even have the smell of lion's breath on his... No, that was a different one. So verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So God got Daniel out of this really incredible situation and then continued to prosper him after that too. So we got a great big wonderful God. So we'll go back to 107 and in verse 9. Verse 9 here starts the second thing, which is miserable captivity. So verse 9 says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such, verse 10 actually is where it starts, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. These were guys that were just basically miserable, and they were in captive. Because, where is that? Verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then, again, these guys were in the midst of trouble. They were rebelling against God, and they weren't very happy. They were just going against God. Verse 13 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. So God, even though they were faltering and not being their best for him, they cried unto him, and he took care of them and burst their bands asunder. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. 4, verse 16, he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Fools go back and forth. They go to God, they go away from God, they go back to God, they go away. But every time God takes them back when they cry unto him. Their soul, verse 18, abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. That's not a good thing to draw near to. Then, again, verse 19, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. So every time we go to God, and every time we cry unto him, he takes us back and he restores us. He saveth. Saveth. Let's go to Isaiah, Jeremiah 33. A couple of books over.
33?
Yes, sir. Jeremiah 33. And in verse 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So that's what God wants to do for us when we call unto him. He wants to show us his great and mighty things. Not just great and mighty things, but his great and mighty things, which way overtake the great and mighty things we could ever think about. Back in Psalm 107, in verse 20, where is it? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Delivered, I want to go to Job chapter 33. And that's going the other way. Job 33. And we'll read 28 and 29. It says, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit. And the pit is not a good place. The pit is a dark and dungy, grave. Not a good place. And his life shall see light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. So again, that's what God wants for us. He wants our souls, our lives, to be enlightened with the light of the living. That's a great God. We will go back to, where was I in Psalm? Psalm 107. All right, 23 was starting. So this part starts the example of a seaman out in the water and just kind of floundering around in a storm and tossed to and fro. So verse 23 says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the to the heaven, they go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And that their soul that melted, it means it's their fear. They're in fear because they're getting whacked around by the sea. They're faint-hearted because they're going through a lot of turmoil. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. It's not fun to be at your wit's end with anything. But then again, verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. So again, every time one of God's people goes to him, he bringeth them out of their distresses. And that's a great God. Where is it? He maketh, and these verses are so sweet here, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And I don't know if you've ever been on a boat, but I was on a boat and got seasick. We were out there for a while, got seasick. And it was weird because as soon as we got back into the harbor or whatever, and the seasickness went away. And that's, I don't know if that happens for everybody, but that's the mind picture I got with these men that were out there. And then God took care of them, and they were in their haven, their desired place. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, verse 31, for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that's what we have, we have a God that we can praise for his wonderful works because he wants to do those for us all the time. Verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth, and these are some great things that just God wants to do for his people too. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. You think about the Red Sea that he parted so his people could cross it with no harm. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water spring. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields, and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Now if you have cattle, that's a good thing. God will take care of them for you too. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. Where is it? I lost my place again. Sorry, guys.
42.
I knew that. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Someone wrote this that I wanted to end this with. Whoever does the, I think it's Strong's that does the E-Sword. Anyway, they wrote this about this psalm, and this really blessed me about the psalm too, because it just shows how loving and kind and that God is, and that he always wants to take care of his people. So it says, the composition of this psalm is admirable throughout, and the descriptive part of it adds at least its share of beauty to the whole. But what is most to be admired is its consciousness, and with all the expressiveness of the diction, which strikes the imagination with illimitable elegance. See, I could never make these words up myself, so The miserable captive in the dungeon, the sick and dying man, the seamen floundering in a storm, are described in so affecting a manner that they far exceed anything of the kind. So, I don't know. That's what blessed me about just to see how God wants to take care of us and wants the best for his people.